In Acts chapter 27 this morning. Acts 27. I believe you fellas can get the job done without Big Sister. Amen. That was the proof is in the pudding this morning. Acts chapter 27, and one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible, because this, really the book of Acts is a narrative of the early church and how she began to spread, and what God began to do with His church. So I love this chapter, but here in Acts chapter 27, this chapter tells us how the Apostle Paul sails into the teeth of a mighty, ferocious storm. And it tells how Paul rode out that storm and how he got through that storm. When you open Acts 27 and you begin to read this chapter, you can almost smell the salt in the air. There's just something about this story. It's just one of those gripping stories in the Bible. And it's not a short chapter. It's a very lengthy chapter. But there's just something about this particular story. It's one of those gripping accounts in the Word of God that helps a believer. When I read this thing, I can hear the booming thunder. Can you hear it? Now, I can see the lightning as its fingers flash across the bosom of the sky. You can even hear the old ship creaking under your feet. You can hear the groans and the moans of the sea. You can hear the waves as it begin to crash against the stern of that ship. You can hear the wind as it whistles through the air. And this is an incredible story of a ship in the midst of a storm. Which brings up an incredible question this morning. And the question is this, is why would God take an entire chapter of 44 verses and tell us about a storm and tell us about a ship in the midst of a storm? I believe with all my heart that it's because it's just more than a story in the Bible. I believe with all my heart that the Holy Ghost of God has taken a spiritual illustration this morning with a great spiritual application for all of us that sat in these pews this morning. Because you see, life is like a voyage. Life is, sometimes the sea of life is calm, and sometimes the wind blows softly. Sometimes the sea is calm. Sometimes the sun is shining, and I want to say thank God for those times. And thank God for the times, and maybe that's where you're at this morning. It just seems like life is easy and it's smooth sailing. Can I say this morning, enjoy it. Enjoy it. It is a gift from God, but I've got news for you. Sometimes the wind begins to rise. And sometimes the sky begins to darken, and sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of a terrible, terrible storm. And that's the way it is here in Acts chapter number 27. This chapter is an illustration of life. It's an illustration of every human being sailing between two eternities. Sometimes things are good, and then sometimes things are bad. So here in our text, we find that Paul is a prisoner, and they're taking him to Rome to be adjudicated. You see, he started off on that ship here in Acts 27, Paul did, as a prisoner, but you're going to find out by the end of the chapter that he becomes the captain. Amen. And Paul was a little bit different than most of us. You look at Paul and Many times we see difficulties in every opportunity, but Paul, he saw an opportunity in this difficulty. You put Paul in prison, and soon he becomes the jailer. Amen. You put him before King Agrippa, and soon he's the prosecuting attorney. I mean, every opportunity that Paul is in, even though it's a difficult time, he finds an opportunity and he applies the Word of God to it. And I believe with all my heart, like the Bible says, now thanks be unto God, which causeth, always causeth us to triumph in Christ. That was the theme of Paul's life. So here we see how Paul, he rode out the storm. He survived the storm. He made it through the storm. Let's start in verse number 20 this morning. The Bible says this, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us. That's just Paul's way of saying this was a big one. I mean, this was a giant storm. It was no small tempest. He said, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. He said, I told you so. Every preacher does that every now and then. Told you so. You should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. He said, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, we're all going through some storms in life. Just buckle down because they're coming. But you know, there's four types of storms in life. Number one, there are storms that are just a part of nature. Just the simple fact that you are alive and on earth. The Bible says that God makes it to rain on the just and the unjust. Save, lost, good, bad. Hey, just because you're on the earth means that there are going to be some storms in life. Amen. You say, how do I escape it? You can't. They're coming. There's storms that are a part of nature. Just because you're here, you're going to go through storms. But then number two, there are some storms that are engineered by our own foolishness. One of those examples in the Bible is Jonah. Jonah disobeyed God, and so God sent that storm. And what did they do? Amen. Overboard went Jonah, and he ends up in the belly of a whale. Amen. And it was because he disobeyed God. But thank God the Lord came to Jonah the second time. I'm just saying there's some storms in life that are engineered by your own foolishness or your own disobedience, and God has to send you to Whale University because of foolishness. Then there are, number three, there are storms that God sends into our life. God sends them for our growth. So God can work on you. The example of that in the Bible is the Lord told the disciples to sail, to get in the boat, knowing that there was a storm brewing. But he knew that the Lord knew that they needed a storm in their life to help them grow. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Oh Lord, what are we going to do in the storm? And they had to wake the Lord up in the midst of it. I'm telling you, the storms of life sometimes are not as bad as they appear, because the Lord's even sleeping in the midst of them. Storms that God sends into your life for growth. Number four, there are storms that we are dragged into sometimes by other people. And that's the case here in Acts chapter number 27. You see, Paul knew that this ship should not sail. And he tried to warn everybody. Listen, sometimes children, they get into the difficulties of life because of their parents. And some of you children sat here this morning. And you have no control. Maybe you have a lost daddy or a lost mama. Maybe your parents are going through a divorce. Maybe there's family trauma at your house. I'm just saying, you're in the midst of a storm and it's totally out of your control. You're drug into it by your own parents. Sometimes America gets into storms. We are experiencing that right now as a country because of bad leadership. Or maybe it's because of warfare. Sometimes we find ourselves just sailing on the ship of state or sailing on the ship of government, and we see ourselves sailing right into the judgment of God. Then there's not a thing you can do about it. Verse 9 and 10, Paul told them, don't sail. Look at it here. He said, verse 9, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, Paul said, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and he said to them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, and not only the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Paul said, it's not time to sail. Paul's spiritual radar was going off and it was screaming, don't sail, don't sail, don't sail. Nevertheless, verse number 11, the Bible says the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul. You see, the centurion had to make a decision. It was either to follow the man of God or to follow a man of the world. Listen, he had to make a decision, and he made his decision based upon the wrong decision. And you know what happened? In Acts 27, they sailed, and Paul was drug into a storm by somebody else. It was not his fault. And I want you to see here, number one, some reasons for the storm. I see here five ways that there's a surefire way to sink your ship in the midst of a storm. Number one, make your decision in haste. Look at verse number 9 of our text here. The Bible says, now when much time was spent. Man, I mean, they decided in haste. As the saying says, decide in haste and you'll repent in leisure. A lot of people say, well, let's just do something. Man, time is going by. Much time is spent. We've got to do something. Even if it's wrong, let's just do something. Sometimes people marry people that way. You ever seen somebody, man, they start going through their 20s and they get in their mid-20s and late 20s and then 30 comes around, they're still not married and they're just looking for somebody to catch. You better watch out. You just might catch them. Make your decision in haste. And some people, they quit school in haste. And they quit their job in haste. They quit the church in haste. And they move their family away in haste because they just have to make a decision because time is swiftly passing away. Can I say this morning, if you're in the middle of a decision, you better wait on God. You better wait upon the Lord. Bloom where you are planted until God moves you. Don't you make a decision this morning in haste because the storm is coming. You want to sink your ship? Just make your decision in haste. Don't think just because time is passing that you've got to do something. Listen, the Spirit of God does not push. The Spirit of God, He leads and He guides, but He does not shove. Listen, that's not the Lord shoving you. That's the devil trying to get you to make a decision in haste. It's a way to sink your ship this morning. Number two, I'll tell you how else to sink your ship. Depend upon worldly wisdom rather than godly wisdom. Verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. Paul said, don't sail. He said, let's sail. They listened to the wrong counsel. I never have understood people have marriage problems and they go to some godless marriage counselor to try to get some help. Somebody that knows not the Word of God and they have forsaken the counsel of the Word of God. I still believe one of the best things you can do is come to church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, go to prayer meeting, go to Bible Institute, go to revival meetings, go to camp meetings, go to missions conferences. Just be under the Word of God and you'll get most of the counsel you need from this book and from the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And one woman went to a psychiatrist to try to get some help about her marriage. Come to find out that the psychiatrist that she was talking to about her marriage problems was on her fifth husband. Weird man. Psycho. You want to sink your ship? Just depend on worldly wisdom rather than godly counsel from the Word of God. Number three, I'll tell you how else to sink your ship this morning. Just take the easy way out. Just take the easy way out. Look at verse number 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence, if by any means they might attain to Phinehas and there to winter, which is in the haven of Crete, lie toward the south, west, and northwest. You know what they did? It just wasn't convenient. It was not commodious to winter in. The word commodious just means convenient. They took the easy way out. They were not comfortable. So they took the easy way out. You're almost always going to get in trouble that way. If you try to get the easy way out, listen, we are called to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you are driven by your flesh rather than being led by the Spirit of God, you are headed for trouble this morning. Don't try to take the easy way out. Just endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's what they tried to do. They wanted out. Just give me the easy way out of this storm. Number four, I'll tell you how else to sink your ship this morning. Follow the crowd. In verse 12 there, the Bible says, the more part advised. Paul was outvoted. But you know what Paul was? He was right. Paul was outvoted, but he was right. The majority, listen to me this morning. You ought to write this down. You ought to put it down in your heart. Listen to me very carefully. The majority is almost always wrong. Every time. 12 spies went out to spy in Joshua's day. And 10 of them said it cannot be done. And 2 of them said that it could. I'm telling you this morning, Israel wanted to become a monarchy there in the Old Testament instead of a theocracy. As God is their king, they wanted to be like the other nations. They said, we want a king. We want to be a monarchy like the rest of the world. And they chose, God said, okay, I'll give you what you want. They said, we want Saul as a king. God said, okay, I'll give you what you want. And he did. He gave them exactly what they wanted. But guess what? They got what they want, but they did not want what they got. Because they followed the crowd. Pilate asked the crowd one day, which of the two prisoners do they want to be released? Jesus or Barabbas? You know what they said? When they said Jesus, they said, not this man, but Barabbas. Not this man, but Barabbas. My friend, they were wrong. They crucified the Son of God. The majority was wrong. The crowd was wrong. I'm telling you, if you want to sink your ship, that's what people do. They go around and they ask somebody, they already have their mind and heart made up about what they want to do. And they just go from person to person to person. They go to the majority trying to rack up enough votes of some people that'll tell them it's okay to do something they already want to do. And my friend, when it goes bad, they'll blame them for giving them the counsel to do it. I'm telling you this morning, the majority is almost always wrong. It's a surefire way to sink your ship. You know what the majority is? The majority is a lot of people just pooling their ignorance. That's what it is. I mean, everybody rallying and protesting and all that. Just man, the majority, everybody, man, we got to listen to this big voice. Has it ever occurred to you that the big crowds are wrong. That's what the Bible says. You want to sink your ship? Just follow the crowd. Number five, depend upon circumstances. In verse number 13, the Bible says that when the south wind blew softly, boy, things are going okay. Listen, that wind just kind of, it was just a soft wind. They said, oh, see, now the sea is calm and the wind is blowing in our direction. It must be the will of God. Must be the will of God. There are a lot of people who are led by the circumstances of life. You want to sink your ship? Just be led by circumstances. They said, well, if I just tell God, if He don't want me to do it, then just don't let it happen. That's foolish. That soothing south wind was soon to turn into a horrendous, ferocious storm that would sink their ship, and sadly, it's still happening today. It's the reason for the storm. Number two, there's the reactions to the storm. You know what you find here? You find when the storm comes, and these people are in the midst of the storm, you know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. Number one, dreams are dissolved. In verse number 15, look at it. And when the ship was caught, and we could not bear into the wind, we let her drive. They said, it's out of our control now. We just let her drive. They could not steer it. They had no control over the winds. They had no control over the ship. The broken dreams had come. They were at the mercy of the forces that they could not control. They just had to let her drive in the storm. And all the dreams that they had were now dissolved. You know what else happens? Reactions in the storm when the storm comes. Number two, labor increases. Verse 16 of our text here, and running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, they said, we had much work to come by the boat. They were trying to pick up the broken pieces. They were trying to put this thing back together, the things that the storm had destroyed. Man, they were just working. They were laboring. Listen, the devil will tell you that it's hard to be a Christian. I got news for you this morning. That's a lie. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Proverbs said the way of transgressors is hard. I'm not saying there's not discipline and there's not hardness and there's not storms and trials in being a Christian. But I'm just saying the other side of the coin is the gruesome, cruel, toilsome labor that comes with sin. We had much work. Sin always causes you much labor in life. And then not only that, I'll tell you what else happened here. Resources were wasted. In verse 18, the Bible says, and we being exceeding tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Hey, the resources were wasted. One of the most costly things around is sin. Sin is costly. These people had worked, and these people are now wasting. It's all going overboard. They're just taking the tackling and they're lighting the ship. They're just trying to survive in the midst of the storm. They're working and they're wasting everything that they thought was precious. It's no longer precious anymore. Everything that they had worked for, everything that they had loved, it's now going overboard. I'm telling you this morning, the worldly man, you know what he does? He spends the first half of his life gaining his wealth. Then he spends the last half of his life spending his wealth to get his health back. And he's unhappy in both halves of his life. What a waste. What a waste. These people, they're sitting in here in the midst of this storm, and they're working and they're wasting. There's people sitting in this service this morning that you'd give everything that you have just to have your family back. You'd give everything you have to to have your son sit in church with you, to have your wife back again. But all I say this morning, to have that emotional stability, to have a loved one restored. You see, they worked. They wasted. You know what else happened here? Hope vanished. Verse number 29. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, if it couldn't get any worse, they cast four anchors out of the stern. Look at this. And wished for the day. They scream, "Oh, if I just had some light. I just wish that I knew what to do." They had rejected the man of God. They had rejected light. And now they find themselves in darkness. You see, these sailors did not have the modern instruments that we have today. GPSs and those sorts of things. Sailors in this day, they used the stars and they used the sun. And they would use the moon and they would use the land. And they would use the shore. But here in verse number 20, the Bible says here that these things were gone. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. They said, there's no light. Hope is gone. And they just wished for the day. All of the important things in their life was now gone. What do you do, friend, when the stars of your night go out? What do you do when the sun disappears out of your day? They just wished for the day. They just wished that there was some hope in life. But there was no hope. And then not only that, foolishness abounds. Verse number 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, what a stupid move. And when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they had been cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." They thought that they could escape the problems by jumping ship. They thought that they could get out of the storm by just getting in a smaller boat. Because this boat's just too big and there's just too many problems here. So we'll just get in another boat that's a little bit smaller because this will solve all of our problems, my friend. I tell you, that's a foolish way to think. Paul said, you better stay in the ship. This is a form of escapism that was built upon selfishness. You find somebody that jumps ship, that jumps out of a church because of a storm or a trial. You know what I'll show you? I'll show you someone whose heart and life is full of selfishness. Full of selfishness. They leave the church for another one so they can try to find some smooth sailing. There's no such thing as smooth sailing. You try to run from your problems, guess what? They'll follow you. Because where there's people, there's problems. A child sometimes runs away trying to get rid of the problem of mom and dad. Sometimes people try to solve their problem by suicide. Can I just stop right here and say this? That suicide never solves a problem. It only makes them abound and multiply more and more and more. And I tell you, that's a selfish way to try to escape your problems. These people here, the wind was driving them along and they're working and they're throwing things overboard. And now they cannot see which way to go. Do you know people like that? I know people like that. Man, the storms of life are just too much and they don't know what to do. Then we see how one man made the right decision, a man by the name of Paul. You know what Paul did? Here's the difference. You see all the stuff that they're doing? And here's Paul in verse number 22. He said, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Which man are you in the midst of the storm? For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee them all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. You see, there's three classes of people in this room this morning. Number one, there are those who are afraid. Number two, there are those who are ignorant or don't know enough to be afraid. And then there are those like Paul who know the Word of God. They know God. And they know what the Word of God says. And they believe God. I can see Paul as he's walking across that ship that day when the storm is crashing all around him. And he's opened up to Psalm 107 at verse 23 as he's reading, They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, who lifted up the waves thereof, they mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble, they reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. I could see Paul, as he's reading Psalm 107, walking across that ship that day, and he says to those, Sirs, I believe God. And then there's the results of the storms of life. I just read those verses to you. You see, God had a plan. And God's plan was to get Paul to Rome. That was God's plan. Because Acts 23, several chapters before, Acts 23, verse 11, God said to Paul, Thou must bear witness also at Rome. And then the storm came in Acts 27. But I love Acts 28. Just one chapter later, Paul said this in Acts 28, verse 14. And so we went toward Rome. You see, God had a plan. And then the storm came. And I don't know of any better illustration in the Word of God that shows the divine sovereignty of God and human responsibility at the same time. Now, look, God's not a Calvinist, right? It's not all God, it's not all man. And things happen in life. And here it was not God's plan for that ship to sail, but it did not stop God's plan. You know, there's a lot of things going on in this world. There's a lot of plans and dreams and wishes that this church has. In Nigeria, Project Joshua, and so on and so forth. And then this storm comes, and what are we going to do? Is it just going to blow the plan of God out? You see, what was on that ship? I'll tell you who was on that ship. Paul. But not only was Paul on that ship, I'll tell you what else was on that ship. Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, the Gospel of Luke, the Book of Acts. And I'll tell you what else was on that ship was the will of Almighty God watching over a man. And none of the storms that came that day stopped the will of God. We serve a mighty God this morning. Christians may fail, we may flounder, we may sin, but one day all this is going to be over. And I say, glory be to God for that day. It's either going to be when the trumpet sounds, or one of these days to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. But all of hell cannot stop, because the old ship of Zion is sailing on. And one of these days she's going to dock on those bright shores of sweet deliverance. The sunny banks of sweet deliverance. We're on the winning side. Paul said, Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. But the centurion believed the owner of the ship. So here's the message. Here's the question. Who are you going to believe? Do you know how to survive the storms? It all depends on who you believe. Do you believe the circumstances? All the voices of the media? All the counsel that comes your way? There's voices on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. There's voices on Fox News, CNN. All around voices. Which voice are you going to believe? Can I make a suggestion to you? Believe God. And you'll survive the storm. Let's all stand, Father. Lord, I pray that the church, as we go through these storms of life, that you'd help us, Lord, to survive and to sail on. Help those, God, that are just like these other men in the midst of this storm, Euroclodon. Help them, Lord, to take counsel and heed the Word of God, so they can survive and ride out the storm. Father, bless your church now. Watch over us. Give us wisdom and discernment. And help us, like Paul, to believe God in the midst of the storm. And we'll thank you and praise you. Bless the invitation now. Lord, draw sinners to yourself. Help them to get saved before it's eternally too late. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Nathan?
281.
281 this morning. There's a big old storm coming for the lost man, for the lost woman. It's an eternal storm in the eternal lake of fire. You say, what do I do to escape? You better believe God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all headed for that place. Thank God, Jesus. God commended His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I say that's a pretty good deal. Escape the storms of hell. If you're here this morning and not saved, Jesus, the precious Son of God, will save you. Survive the storm of life. Stay in the ship. Believe God. Acts 28's coming. You sail towards Rome so you can be the witness that God wants you to be, as Paul was for the Lord Jesus Christ.